Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for our time to worship you together and study your word together. Pray that you bless our time. This time is yours, and we're ready to hear from you and learn from you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so you know our topic for the month is mentorship. And week one, we defined what a mentor is, that every Christian is called to be a disciple of Christ, meaning a follower or a learner or a student of Christ, one that would follow Christ around and learn from his words and deeds and from your relationship with him. And every disciple of Christ is then called to go and make more disciples. And the two parts of discipleship, as defined by Matthew 28, is evangelism and what we're calling mentorship. And the Bible just calls it discipleship. But to make a distinction, we're calling it mentorship, which is us discipling another believer, mentoring another believer, where they would imitate us as we imitate Christ, and then us also getting mentors that we imitate as they imitate Christ. So last week we looked at the model of discipleship that the Bible teaches, which is broken out into the Word of God and fellowship with other believers and service of the Lord. And we saw how God provides his word and fellowship and service to us, many of which is through the context of the church. So we saw it in those contexts. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit more about execution. We'll move into the more execution-focused aspect of the top of the month. And our topic for today is how to find a mentor and how to find a mentee. Yes. So we have three different steps to finding a mentor and three different steps to finding a mentee. To find a mentor, we need to pray for what counsel we need, seek the Lord first for wisdom, then identify the right people that can help guide us in that wisdom, and then position ourselves to grow from learning from those people directly. And then how do we go about finding a mentee? Is prepare ourselves first to be a mentor, then discern what the right people are, who the right people are to mentor, and then build a relationship with those people. So pretty simple. We'll go through each of these step by step, read through those passages, and pull out some main takeaways to think about, and then we'll discuss at the end. So I'll try to go through this quickly so that we have more time to discuss some practical examples and practical roadblocks that we hit. But let's jump into it. How to find a mentor. First, pray. Seek the Lord for the counsel that we need. Proverbs 2. This whole chapter is relevant. I cut it down a little bit, but we'll read most of it. Verse 1 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, so you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Like, the encouragement here is to seek God for wisdom. And if you treasure him, you will get understanding of the world. Cry out for discernment in verse 3 and lift up your voice for understanding. So this is an active process that we need to actually seek from the Lord. If you seek her, if you seek wisdom and understanding as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. So this is like something you're seeking out. You're not just waiting passively for the Lord. You're seeking out wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for whom? For the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. So he wants to give wisdom to the upright. So who would have the wisdom of God? It would be the Lord directly, and he speaks to us through his word. But it would also be the upright who can hand off that wisdom to us. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the ways of his saints, so his people. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So God's wisdom isn't purely hypothetical, metaphysical, theoretical, up in the la-la land space, that his wisdom actually has a practical application, which is why we gain a lot of it not only from the Word of God directly, but also from seeing how mature saints live out that wisdom and enact justice and equity and goodness and righteousness into the world to deliver you from the way of evil. There's plenty of people who are not wise or who pretend to be wise. From the man who speaks perverse things that would lead you astray. From those who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. Those ways are crooked and who are devious in their path. They'll trick you and they'll want to they'll want to influence. That's the word I was trying to get to. They want to influence you, or they will influence you, or they will be in a position to influence you if you don't have the Lord pointing you to the right people, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. So you in this passage, and this whole chapter breaks it out in poetic detail, but you are faced with go to the Lord, seek the Lord for wisdom. And then there's like two types of people that the Lord sets out. It's those who are walking uprightly in him who gain his wisdom, and those who are not walking with him and they flatter you and they trick you and they deceive you. And so then you're faced with, I need to go to the Lord for wisdom and I need to be with the upright people, not with those who are deceiving me. And I need to be able to distinguish between the two. So some lessons we can draw from this and from other passages in Scripture. We need to devote ourselves to prayer because wisdom comes from the Lord alone. And so, as with anything, our relationship with the Lord is that relationship of a student learner and a real relationship. It's not just steps to take that put us in a good position to succeed, but it's a relationship that we have with Christ from which we grow in wisdom and in goodness. So devote ourselves, look to God for that wisdom, and then identify specific areas of your life that you could use wisdom for, because that'll be able to, like prayerfully, this is talking about, prayerfully I'm talking about, where you're able to see the foolishness in your own life or the lack of wisdom in your own life, and then seek the Lord's wisdom in those areas, both from him directly, again from his word, but also from people who would be experts in that area. And then don't just rely on one voice. That's a good way of either not getting enough wisdom at best, or at worst, good way of being deceived, because there's a lot of false wisdom voices. So pull in multiple mentors into your life that can speak wisdom into your life, and be open to receiving counsel for things that you didn't even know you needed, because sometimes you don't recognize where you're foolish, and from people you didn't realize you needed. That sometimes we're overly judgmental or dismissive of the Lord's wisdom. You see this in the Old Testament sometimes, where there'll be somebody who is overlooked because of their stature, like David, King David, or something like that. And it's because it's because humans are tempted to judge by their eyes instead of by the spiritual things. And so just be open to where the Lord directs you is the point here. All right, step 2, identify the right people. Hebrews 13 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. So there's a certain amount of like respect that you would have toward a mentor. But it says, considering the outcome of their conduct at the end of verse 7 there, which is huge. This is something that I think is something I commonly see in young people especially, but even immature or foolish older people, is they will follow the people that they like get along with or that they understand or that speak the same language as them, so to speak, that gets them and they get them, and they'll follow those people even though those people's life is a mess and their life doesn't bear any fruit, and the outcome of their life is unfruitful, or it's something you would never want for yourself. And just because you kind of get along and you understand each other and there's camaraderie, you just follow those people and do whatever those people are doing. And then that leads you to the same result. And you wonder how you got there. The whole time you're like scoffing at the wise people because they don't get you and they don't understand and they don't speak the way you speak. And so a good way of judging who you should be mentored by is by the outcome of their conduct. Are they actually bearing fruit in their lives? Is their life turning out the way that Christ commands us to have lives, or what the way that God defines goodness? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. So the word of God's not going to change. And this is another, people try to like find some sort of an enlightenment outside of scripture or beyond scripture. And so it's like whatever cool, catchy phrase or line of wisdom is what people want to follow. They follow like whatever's new and sounds really good instead of sticking to what scripture teaches. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So you want to follow the one that is receiving the grace of God. So a couple things to learn from this passage. Place yourself where wise people are. And we talked about this last week, but put yourself in a position where you're going to run into the type of people that you would want to mentor you. Prioritize those people who would be willing to invest in you. Then find people who are spiritually qualified and have fruit in their own life. Choose them based on their character, based on their wisdom, based on what environment that they live in. Avoid unhealthy or ungodly influences. And then find people who are equipped with wisdom in the area that you need. Not every mentor is going to be more wise on every possible topic in your life. You'll find certain mentors to give you expertise in certain areas. And only trust people who, to the degree to which they are trustworthy, is what God models for us. So you don't have to find someone and then bear your whole heart and soul out to them all at once, but find someone and give them something small and to see if they're faithful with that. Like, give them a small problem that you have and see if they can give you wisdom on that problem. And if they can, you can trust them with a little bit more, and then they give you more wisdom and you can trust them with a little bit more, and so on and so forth. Third point, position yourself to grow. In James 5, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So if you have a problem, you're supposed to go to leaders in the church or people who can mentor you. And if you think this is just about a quick prayer and anointing with oil for a physical sickness, it goes on. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. So there's something significant in having a mature believer be able to pray for you, care for you, work with you, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, so it's not just physical ailments, but so it's physical like sicknesses, you could extend this principle to problems that you're facing in the world or in your life, and you can extend this to spiritual issues that you're facing. So if you've committed sins, he will be forgiven. This is all based on your relationship with this mature believer. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you'd be healed, because the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So you're relying on mentors to help you grow in your faith and stay holy and heal you and show you the right way in life and all these different ways. So a couple takeaways. Initiate your relationship with a mentor in a humble way. So you take the responsibility of initiating that relationship and going to seek them. And in our James verse, it says, if you're sick, go call the elders of the church. So if you have a problem, go seek a mentor. If you need wisdom, go seek them, go find them, but do it humbly and ask for their help or their advice or their counsel. Then honor and value your mentor. that you you are coming to them because of their uprightness in their life and the way that the Lord's worked in their life. And so treat them with that sort of respect and stay accountable and open to them, confessing what you have to them. Again, you can start small and confess what a little bit and see if they're faithful to give you wisdom on that. But then after they've earned your trust, you got to be completely open with them, or else they can't actually give you counsel. And then be teachable. Actually hear what they're saying and actually take that to heart and put it into practice. Of course, again, you want to use a multitude of counselors. You want to trust. You want to compare everything against God's word, not just take, don't just do whatever somebody says on face value. But if you're not going to take any of their advice, what's the point in having a mentor? And then be consistent. You can't just like sometimes listen to them or sometimes come to them or sometimes take their advice. You have to show up again and again and again. The goal is to imitate how their relationship with Christ is thriving and the example that they give. And you're imitating that and you're putting it into practice. And so a consistency has to be a part of that. So yeah, those are the three for finding a mentor: praying for what the counsel that you need, identifying the right people, and then positioning yourself to grow with them. And then that brings us to our second group: how to find a mentee, someone that you can mentor. So we'll start with point number one: preparing yourself first. In 1 Timothy 4, let no one despise your youth. Now, you can just replace the word youth there with whatever you think people would despise you for. Let no one despise your whatever it is. And why not? Why wouldn't you? I mean, by the way, this doesn't mean go fight them because they despise you. This means don't let that hold you back. It's not like go confront them because they think bad about you or they're talking bad about you behind your back. It's just don't worry about what they're saying or thinking. Instead, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So the defense is your life. Like before you can mentor anybody, you have to be living this out yourself. So the defense of what anybody would despise you for or look down on you for is your life is consistent with Christ. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So continue. Like our job is to continue to take care of people and encourage them in the ways of the Lord. Do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Theoretically, you've been mentored and discipled, and therefore you're ready to use your gifts and wisdom to mentor and disciple others. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So this is not something, wisdom and the ways of the Lord are not something that you can just learn intellectually, but it's something that you have to fully embody yourself every day in public and in secret. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and, guess who? Those who hear you. So before you can be a mentor, you have to represent it yourself, and then that helps other people. So make sure you are qualified and equipped first. You can't pour out into other people what you don't have. Then model the life that you would teach others about. Model the wisdom with your own life and bear that fruit. Think about the cost of what it would take to mentor someone and how that requires your sacrifice, and be prepared to sacrifice for others before you even make that commitment. And then plan ahead of time to not overextend yourself. Mentorship requires long-term sustainability and reliability. And if you overcommit and under deliver, you'll hurt the ones that you're mentoring. And so you have to be prepared yourself before you can go mentor someone else. Second point, after you prepare yourself, then discern the right people to mentor. In Proverbs 9, it says, "He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself." So It's not, it's, do not correct a scoffer. It says straight up, lest he hate you. Not everybody who should be mentored is ready to be mentored or wants to be mentored by you. And so if you're finding someone who needs advice but does not want to hear it from you, don't even bother. Don't force it on someone. But rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So on the other hand, there'll be some amount of people who are ready to listen to your wisdom. And that's like a test of whether you should mentor someone or not. Is, are they already listening to you? Sometimes you have people in your life that are already like hanging on every word from you, and you're overlooking them. Those would be the people to mentor. And then there's other people in your life that you think should hear what you're saying, and they want nothing to do with what you're saying. And those are the people that you shouldn't waste time on. Now, you should still initiate and, I guess, offer, but if they are continuously rejecting you, just don't push it on them. So a couple takeaways. Pray for people who are hungry to grow. Again, the Lord makes these connections that he wants to use for wisdom. So you want the Lord to put you in the path of the people who are ready for that wisdom and seeking that wisdom already. And you can just start with who's around you in your life and go from there. Then you want to look for the needs that people have, and you can start by just filling their need. It might not even be a spiritual need, but maybe a physical need or a relational need or an emotional need. And just start by filling a need that the person has, and then they'll let you in more. Look for what they're lacking in support and provide the support that they're lacking in their life. And look for people who have been in a position that you used to be in, because then you're able to give them the encouragement of the Lord that the Lord has given you, Scripture says. Look for faithfulness and teachability, people who are already showing up consistently or already like hungry to listen and then put into practice what they heard. They're like ready to learn. Those are really good people to mentor. And then discern when someone's ready. They might not be ready. It's not your responsibility to mentor every person you come across, but you can offer mentorship, but then before you engage fully, you'd want to wait until, or you'd want to make sure that that person is ready to hear what you have to say. Finally, you want to build and lead the relationship with your wisdom and your initiation. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." So we're being sent by the Lord to mentor others. So it's not about pleasing them, or as verse 5 says, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is a witness. Nor do we seek glory from men." We're not trying to look wise and powerful, and we're not trying to put ourselves, this is like a prideful thing when you try to show or prove to someone, convince them that you're like someone to be mentored from. That's like, that's pride, and that's you, that's your self-consciousness that you're trying to seek glory from them or seek respect from them. It says in verse 6, "Either from you or from others, that when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ," they could have gotten that glory, but they didn't. "But we were gentle among you, just as nursing mother cherishes her own children." That's the people that people want to learn from, is the gentle people that really care for others. "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you're so dear to us." If you want to mentor someone, your life is like being laid down for them. That you would share, you would sacrifice time and effort and relationship space, and you would sacrifice other things to be there for them when they need it, when they have the need. And you have this compassion for them. And so you're willing to do whatever it takes for them. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You're willing to do whatever it takes to support the person that you're wanting to mentor. So the bar for you being a mentor to someone is pretty high on what makes you qualified and what you're willing to give them and you're ready to give them. So invite people to be a mentor or for you to mentor them, but don't force them to. You can start casually with them, just building a relationship with them, and it can become more formal over time. And then as it does, invest in that relationship, not just in telling them wisdom, but in the relationship that you have with them. And that sometimes takes time, takes a lot of patience, takes slow growth. A lot of times people don't listen to you for a long time, and you just have to be there for them. And eventually you've earned their ear. Encourage them and correct them both, and both with gentleness. So if you're just encouraging them and not correcting them, that's not helpful to them. That's not actual wisdom. If you're just correcting them and not encouraging them, that's not helpful. That's just beating them down. You have to encourage and correct both. Tell them when they're wrong and tell them what they're doing right, and all of that being done in gentleness. You want to teach them truth. You want to teach them to obey the Lord. You want to set expectations for them. You want to set structure in their lives. And then you want to aim for them to multiply other disciples, not aim for them to forever be dependent on your relationship with them, but you're basically trying to equip them and for them to go out and give that wisdom to other people that eventually they wouldn't have an emergency once a week where they needed to call you up anymore. Like eventually that's okay for a while, but eventually your goal is to get them to a point where they only need to talk to you every once in a while, or don't even need to talk to you, just want to talk to you, but they are equipped themselves to go make other disciples. And so you're not trying to like control them or have authority over them forever. You're just trying to prepare them in whatever way they need and is helpful, and then send them out from there. So back to the overarching summary, how to find a mentor, pray for what counsel you need, identify the right people in your life that have the right outcomes that you can learn from, and then position yourself to grow from them, humbly seeking their advice and honoring them. And then how do you find a mentee? Is you prepare yourself first, where you're actually living that out, and you discern who's ready to be hearing wisdom from you, who needs that wisdom, and then you build a relationship with them where you're sacrificing and initiating for them.